Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to Shane Beattie. It is Monday, the 7th of April at 6:30. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking about building permits for construction, and we'll be looking at change makers and with the boss of Repac, and all the markets as usual, including those crashing Asian markets. You can email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and international websites, which we shall do in the inexhaustive and invaluable company of Paul Kavanagh from Patronus Partners. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Wow. Asian markets have had a horrendous night.
They certainly have. There was a little bit of catch up because of the way that the US market closed on Friday, pretty much on its lows. The Chinese market was closed on Friday. That needed to play some catch up. And we tend to find that Asian markets have higher volatility than European markets. So as futures started to open in terms of the our time at around 11, 12 o'clock last night, they plummeted and pretty much have stayed rooted down, sort of between 6 to 8% down across many of those markets. I will say that in Europe, some of the futures that we were seeing for the opening of, say, the UK market at one point was down 4%, although that loss has been halved as trading is beginning to pick up with more momentum in Europe at the moment. So glimmers of hope that we're not going to have quite the sort of crash that we're seeing in Asia spread across Europe this morning. But as I say, it's early days and it's highly choppy.
Yeah, the Nikkei is down almost 7%. The SSE in Shanghai are down over 6%. But the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 11%, more than 11%.
Yeah, and some very big features in there in the banking sector. You've got the HSBC and Standard Chartered. Standard Chartered, a particularly weak feature this morning in Hong Kong, down around about 18%. So some real indications here that the financial sector is coming under some severe stress relating to the great uncertainty that's been created by these tariffs as to how this will play out.
Now, I'm very interested in bond yields and what they do. Some people suggest that there is method in the Trump madness, that they want to get US borrowing down. And to do that, you get the cost of debt down. And yet bond yields aren't doing what he had hoped.
Yes, they are. As you say, there are elements to these prices that are taking place that are working to Donald Trump's favour at the moment. And we saw a number of interviews coming out over the weekend with the Treasury Secretary, who was indicating that in the US, their total debt is running at around $36 trillion. It's climbing at a very high rate. And most importantly, they have a huge amount of refinancing of some of that debt happening at the moment. And of course, in January, that debt was costing 5%. And now it's down below 4%, a very material saving as you start to refinance your debt. It's exactly the same as if we're trying to refinance a home loan. If it just so happens to coincide when rates are high, it becomes very painful. When rates are low, obviously, it's much, much more helpful. And we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars of savings for the US. So he'll treat that as a win for America, that the reaction to financial markets at the moment, lower commodity prices, the oil price is lower, and lower debt prices, as a reason why it will give him confidence to continue pushing on this issue. I think he sees this as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to set some rebalance, particularly with China. Whilst the tariffs are against the rest of the world and whilst he's entering into negotiations, apparently 50 countries coming to him over the weekend to negotiate, and Donald Trump will love that. He'll love sitting down and doing a deal with everybody. But the real play here is to get some high rebalance with China at the moment, which he's ultimately concerned about, that deficit with them is running too much. They're funding technology that is competing with America. As I say, he is feeling that that's out of control and that needs addressing. And I think that's, in fairness, a fair point.
Yeah. Excuse me. In terms of countries negotiating, it looks like Vietnam is definitely keen on doing a deal. But India will not retaliate. So it looks as if it wants a deal as well. That's two countries, two important exporting nations. But as you say, China and the EU, they're the big ones. And the Chinese at this stage said, no, we're slapping 34% tariffs on you guys.
And that is going to be, I think, will take centre stage this week, because whilst the markets can look for glimmers of hope that this tariff thing is not quite out of control as it seemed in the first couple of days, and taking some positives that some negotiations can take place here, and that there may be some softening of stance from Donald Trump on those. The main event is going to be how China responds. And, of course, an immediate retaliation at the moment. They're just going to be looking for signals right across the board here, because what we have to realise is that China has reinvested much of the surplus from this trading pattern over the course of the last decade or so into US debt, into US assets at the moment. And therefore, if this
mostly treasury bills, T-bills.
Absolutely. And if this war, financial war that is beginning to take place, starting with tariffs, moves into more capital and capital flows, then it could take quite a dark twist. And so,
are you talking about a Chinese withdrawing all those investments somehow?
Potentially, or and there's been, you know, talk about withholding tax being placed on US assets. So this could escalate, and it could escalate quickly between the US and China. And we hope not. We hope that that sense will prevail. But that's the big unknown, and I think that's the big centre stage play for this week. So whilst we'll hear a little bit about Europe, we'll hear a little bit about India, the potential for deals, it's really about what happens here with China. And those interviews that were given over the weekend, as I say, with the Treasury Secretary, you know, demonstrate that this is not just something he woke up with yesterday and thought, I'm going to deal with it. It's been burning in his desire to deal with this for many, many years now. And so, therefore, one senses that this is going to have plenty more to play out before we get to some sort of solution that the US markets can, or the financial markets can get their head around and then start to invest with a little bit more confidence.
Yeah, but there are real world consequences already. We've seen the car makers. Stellantis has already laid off 900 workers, and Jaguar in the UK has stopped shipping to America.
Yes, they have. I suspect that they've got plenty of stock in America to handle the next few weeks with product that is outside of the tariff at the moment. They've put a pause on it. They want to obviously see how this plays out. And they've bought themselves, I suspect, a little bit of time, measured in weeks, not months, to see if this hopefully can sort of resolve itself, and that negotiations can take place to reduce that. So I think there's some sense in their decision there, but I'm not expecting that necessarily to be a longer term decision.
So that's the car sector. The tech sector, there's a very respected trader called Dan Ives, and he thinks we're headed for some sort of technology winter.
Yes, and the name that comes to mind is Apple here, because there's naturally some real fallout from the tariffs. It's a rule that's imposed that has many, many consequences. And one of them is, for example, an iPhone. An iPhone is produced and manufactured, much of the product outside of the US, re-imported back into the US. And I've seen some analysis that suggests that the cost of an iPhone could be up 50 to 100% in terms of the overall cost of production with these tariffs back on the US consumer. And one just begs the question about the relationship of Apple and Trump, how much he's there to protect them, or how much he sees Apple as not necessarily part of his group. Was Tim Cook, you know, as close to him as Elon Musk? Is he asking Apple to rearrange their business model to bring more product back into the US in terms of their manufacturing? Want some deep investment from them? So they could be some smaller arguments underway here as to whether or not he's going to pick out certain businesses and think, I need you to do more for the US economy and not, as I say, have all your manufacturing overseas. So it'd be some interesting highlights there. Apple stock is coming under a lot of pressure on this.
Oh, yeah. It was down 7% on Friday, and the grey market, as in the overnight market, ahead of trading today, is down 1% again. Paul, thank you so much for your analysis on that, and very important that was indeed. That's Paul Kavanagh there from Patronus Partners.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.